You're listening to Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. In about 10 minutes or so, we're finally going to get into this Beacon Hill debate about what should be the Massachusetts rock song. In the interim, you can weigh in by emailing us at BPR, Boston Public Radio. That'd be BPR at WGBH.org. In the interim, we mentioned this to Charlie Baker. You know the story. In Bakersfield, a nurse, a self-identified nurse from a senior living facility, calls 911 seeking help for this 87-year-old resident who obviously is in serious trouble. Hear part of the 911 tapes between this nurse and this brilliant police dispatcher.
The human being, I don't, you know, is there anybody that's willing to help this lady and not let her die?
Not at this time.
No, they won't touch her at all.
Not at this time is her position. She goes on to explain, essentially she explains in this 7-minute back and forth between this, again, self-described nurse and this terrific police dispatcher in Bakersfield that, listen, the protocol at the company is we don't provide this kind of help. And by the way, in the last day or so, the guy who runs the company has confirmed this. But essentially, they allow this woman to die. She refuses to go find a person who provide the CPR that might have saved their lives, her life. And we want to know at 877-301-8970. That's 877-301-8970. Is anybody not up in arms about this? This woman is a nurse.
She's a nurse.
And what kind of company?
What do you have nurses there for except to deal with a medical situation?
Well,
that's
they do.
Why you have them,
as
right?
The guy who's head of the company said, that's the protocol in this particular organization. And let's assume it's appropriate, which I think it is not, regardless of the state of the law. Even if it is appropriate, you don't think you have a provision which says, and if the only person who's available to provide life-saving assistance to a resident is one of our employees, then the employee is urged, is required to do something to try to save life. I have to say, this is one of the worst situations, by the boss defending
this
policy.
The family apparently is not upset about this. The woman was 87 years old. You'd think that they would be, I mean, she's 87. She is obviously old.
They probably wanted her or money or something. I'm serious. I mean, really.
With the family, they weren't upset about their mother or grandmother or whoever she was. And when the dispatcher is saying on the phone to the nurse, is there a gardener there? Is there any staff? Can we flag somebody down on the street and get them to help this lady? The dispatcher was just incredulous that this nurse was standing there watching someone breathe her last breaths
and
on
doing
the floor.
Nothing at all
to
help.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. Our numbers are 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. You can email us at bpr@wgbh.org. What do you think about the situation?
You know, the cops are looking at whether, one, there's a potential criminal liability, which I hope there is. Two, some board of ethics is looking at whether or not there was some ethical violation by the living facility or the nurse herself. And I have to say, and again, I don't know what the state of the law is in California. If the book is throwable, they should throw the book at this woman and the facility.
Here's what the guy that runs the facility said. Quote, our practice is to immediately call emergency personnel for assistance and to wait with the individual needing attention until such person arrives. It's just,
and until such resident drops dead.
And I guess it's just kind of nuts because I think the assumption, nurse or no nurse, you know, you hear this all the time where someone calls 911 because their child is choking and the dispatcher will walk them through the steps of the Heimlich maneuver or, in a case where, you know, a heart attack or something, walk them through the steps of CPR. So dispatchers do this all the time. It's just kind of crazy.
By the way, the dispatcher should listen to the whole 7-minute tape. She was so brilliant and so powerful and so concerned about the human being in this instance, this 87-year-old woman, she should win some sort of award.
John in Worcester, what's your take on the nurse doing nothing while the resident of the senior facility dies?
Hey, how you doing today?
Great.
That's intense, first of all, I want to say. I'm not going to agree with you, Jim, and I'm surprised to hear myself say that, but here's where I'm coming from.
Okay, what is it? Where is it?
I'm not going to agree with you entirely. I was listening to Radiolab recently. This is the NPR show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what they said shocked me. It was one of the recent episodes. They're saying that something like 90% of interviewed doctors, when they go down the list of would you have CPR, would you have, I don't know all the things. CPR is the one that jumps out at me because it's the one I'm familiar with. But they made a list of all the things that you would think of that would save your life. And 90% of doctors said no, they wouldn't want CPR or anything along those lines because they know that these things all come with complications greater than the benefits. So they're leaving patients in a state that they are less, you know, they're not enjoying life remotely as much as before. And I might be crazy in saying this next one, but I believe that I have the number right. Again, it was mind-blowing.
But you know, John, the woman in this case, the dead woman, did not have one of those do not resuscitate orders. And so and there's no evidence that she was not of sound mind. So she it would indicate, wanted to be resuscitated.
Hey, John, thank you for your call. We have a ton of calls. I want to move on. But, John, thank you. Incidentally, one of our colleagues brought in the following from an article in a California newspaper. The California Supreme Court has ruled that California's Good Samaritan law does not protect as many Good Samaritans as was widely believed. In a 4-3 decision, the court determined the Good Samaritan protection from civil lawsuits extends only to one who renders emergency medical care at the scene of an accident. Well, one, I would argue that this is emergency medical care. And secondly, what jury would find against the nurse, regardless of the state of the law, if the nurse decided to do all she could to try to save the life of this poor 87-year-old woman?
Listen to this. This is from Jack, an email from Jack. I am sitting at home right now recovering from a December cardiac arrest due to the quick work of a friend who did CPR and the athletic trainer at Clark University. I am alive.
Shouldn't have done it. Should have let him just go. I mean, yeah. You know, you're applying the same criteria, and this guy could be dead.
I can't imagine a business, this is Jack continuing, or an organization that would put into writing a policy that says, don't save people.
Hey, thanks so much, Jack. Marjorie, you're driving down the road. You see an accident. You see somebody lying on the side of the road. Nobody else is there. You call me and say, Jim, what should I do? And I say, oh, Marjorie, I just researched the law. The law says you could be liable if you make the person worse. What do you do, drive away? I mean, what? I'm serious. What kind of human being?
You call 911 and have the dispatcher instruct you on what you should do.
Exactly.
And try to help the person.
Exactly. Which is what, to me, is so. You know, we've done stories about guys who have jumped on the subway tracks to save other people from dying. And this nurse did nothing for this poor woman. Maureen in Boston, you're next on Boston Public Radio.
Providence.
Jim Browdy. And,
oh, Maureen in Boston. I'm
Boston.
Sorry.
Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. Hey, Maureen.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to make a comment about your judgment of the nurse.
Yep.
I'm a registered nurse. I've been for 38 years.
Yep.
And I think that you are jumping to a conclusion that you may not want to go to.
Okay, tell me why.
Do you know whether the admission agreement into the extended care facility included do not resuscitate orders for their clients? In which case, you are violating their decision.
Maureen,
that
this is a horrible connection.
I've got
to let you go. But Marjorie answered the question.
She did not have a do not resuscitate order.
So the answer is she wasn't violating any prescription or any mandate from this woman or her family. Let's go up to Salem where Richard's on Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. Hey, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Good afternoon. I am a physician. I'm fairly experienced in internal medicine. I've been involved as a trustee of assisted living facilities. Mm. A rehab hospital and general medicine. Two or three points. One, perhaps it would have been better if this woman had a do not resuscitate order. I do find it interesting that family was not upset.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Two, unhappily, there are onerous state regulations that make it these facilities, and I don't know if this is assisted living similar to what we have in Massachusetts, that are really hamstrung. And thirdly, I'm sure an attorney set up the policies. It is a fact that if you're going to do certain medical procedures and, you know, your licensed personnel, you really have to be fully trained and certified and so forth and so on. 3 points.
Doctor, you're a physician, correct, you said,
correct.
Richard? So I guess just human being to human being, though, you are a trained medical person. You're a physician. You presumably do know how to do CPR.
Correct.
I don't know. I just don't know how.
I think if I were in that position and for some reason I was employed in a deal like that, I don't think I would have followed the rules. However, I'm an MD, and, you know, this is kind of improbable. I just think the discussion is certainly gets everybody's blood pressure up.
Yes, it does.
Makes everybody upset.
Yep.
I do believe there are at least three well, two or three factors that should be considered.
Yeah, but and by the way, the only person whose blood pressure is not up is the 87-year-old Richard. And
yes,
I hear you
yes.
all this, and I understand the law. It's just as the dispatcher said, can't and I'm paraphrasing, can't the human being in you cause you to at least find somebody who is willing to try? It seems if the woman is virtually not breathing, one tries anything they can, human being
maybe,
to human being, Richard. That's where I guess we are.
I totally agree with you, and I wouldn't want to be in that predicament myself.
Understood.
Yeah.
Richard, thank you so much for the call.
Pleasure.
We appreciate
maybe,
it. Thank you.
Know, maybe it was a callous, you know, sort of a John Silber-esque, remember his great line, when you're ripe, it's time to go.
Yes, I do remember.
That he
line.
Got in trouble for saying during a gubernatorial race.
Former president
race.
Of Boston University,
yes.
candidate for governor.
Maybe there was some callous decision. Maybe, well, she's 87. We're not going to
Yeah, but that. You know what made it worse for me? When the dispatcher said, well, and I'm paraphrasing again, if you can't do it, can you go find somebody
a
who
stranger.
Will? And her position, her words, these were exactly it. Not at is anybody available who can do that?
Yeah.
Quote, not at this time. Go find somebody. Go get the cook in the kitchen. Go out to the street. Do something. Let's try one or two more quickly here. Chris in Sherbourne, Mass. You're on Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan.
Yeah,
hi,
again,
Chris.
Again, I just listened to all those comments, and I guess I have a little bit of a different opinion of when I just first called. At first, I said to you guys, are you serious?
Yeah, and?
The woman's 87 years old. Most people who are in those facilities don't want to be there in the first place. They don't want their life prolonged. My mom's in a nursing home. I signed a DNR on my mother because I know it's what she would want. She doesn't want to be there in the first place. She has dementia. She has Alzheimer's. Certainly, she does not want to be resuscitated. I guess my case is certainly different from what happened. I listened to that on the radio. I mean, that case, and it did sound kind of ridiculous. I'm a little bit now more with you, Jim. But again, most of those people, they don't want their lives prolonged. But
in this case, she apparently did, Chris, and that is a pretty dramatic distinction. Chris, thank you for your call. We appreciate it.
Megan just emailed and says she's a nurse. She can't imagine not helping someone in cardiac arrest. And she said she wouldn't work at a place that made rules like this since their policies could potentially put her nursing license in jeopardy. Thanks, Megan. If I have a heart attack and I'm on the floor not breathing, I hope I'm next to you.
Should we go from the sublime to the ridiculous,
Yes,
Marjorie?
We should, because this has been a hot topic on the email all day long. There's this big debate raging, and that's the new state rock song, Roadrunner versus Dream On. The battle of the next state song is coming up next on Boston Public Radio 89.7.